Beloved Babaji, in many retreats I come across this strong habit of being hard with myself, always seeking to do what is right. Right and wrong, good and bad, and the mind spins and spins, creating a wall between life and me, between you and me, between me and myself. Sometimes I relax and the torment goes away, but sometimes I go into the torment. I'm writing for help. Loving gratitude, yours, Menaka. The nature of the mind is that it's spinning, no? The mind lives only in the opposite, good and bad, right and wrong. That is the mind. But if you drop the mind, then what? What happens then? Then you can relax more. Don't focus on the mind, because it's not about right and wrong. That belongs to the mind, that is opinions, habits, religions, ideas. What is right and what is wrong? For me, what is right is to be conscious, not to be aware. What is wrong is to be unaware, unconscious. That is right and wrong. If you are unconscious, then anything you can do, even if you think you're doing the right, you're doing wrong. Because you are unconscious. People do that all the time. They don't even know what they are doing. They are surprised when you're trying to tell them, "Hello, Mrs., you're doing stupid things." Me? You have to explain it, what you are doing, because we are not aware. So bring consciousness, then you see. And not seeing what is right and wrong, you just see. It's beyond the opposites. Because this right and wrong, it must come from your whole past ideas. Then you're trying to fit that right and wrong, what to do right and what to do wrong, into a new situation, which a situation that never happened before. You cannot use the past. You have to be conscious. You have to be alert in the moment. Then you're functioning spontaneous. Otherwise, everybody has a problem with something new because they don't know how to function. Because they are not spontaneous. They don't know how to live in the moment. Then they are afraid what to do now. So then, the mind will always, in many retreats I come across the strong habit of being hard with myself, always seeking to do what is right. Yes, but what is right? Here, the only thing is right, Menaka, now for you, is just to relax. Very easy. what has the mind to do with that? Just allow yourself to relax. And don't take any notice of the mind and is all the games with good and bad and right and wrong. All that is gone. You just relax. Let the mind do whatever it wants. That's the whole art of meditation, of self-knowledge. To realize you are not the slave of the mind. Let it do its show. You are not interested. You want peace. You want to relax. This is the difference between intellectual understanding and knowing. You can know all the scriptures in the world and all what is right and wrong, but you don't know yourself. And true knowing comes only from your own self, from that silent clarity that is there in everyone, but it's covered by this right and wrong and your ideas. And being hard on yourself. All that has to go. So here I'm trying first to make you stop. No, at last I have made you stop. No, you sit. At least you sit silently on the outside. Boof. That's almost a miracle. Where in this whole world are people just sitting down, doing nothing? It's totally forgotten. Everybody has to do, and do the right thing, or do the wrong thing, depending on who you are. If you're a priest, you're trying to do the right thing. If you're a thief, you're trying to do the wrong thing. Who cares? Same. Just ideas. If you want to go get away from that game, you have to stop. No, in some miraculous way, you have stopped, you sit. That's the first. You sit, you keep the body still, you want to go deeper. Most people, they never even stop the physical body, which is very, very difficult. It takes a certain kind of understanding that no, I want to stop, no, I want to know myself. Then the real journey starts. No, you have to look into your interior. That is what meditation is. That is what Vipassana is. Then you become aware of all these things. It becomes very clear. You cannot hide from yourself because no, you sit only with yourself. That is what meditation is. You want to meet yourself. And that is arduous. It's not for everybody. It's much easier to be unconscious and to live in the world of good and bad. Much more easy. When you sit, then you want to go beyond that mind. It doesn't matter what it comes up with. Only when the mind is quiet, then you will start seeing what is real. Otherwise, like you say, the mind spins and spins, creating a wall between life and me, between you and me, between me and myself. All different worlds for the same thing. All this has to be gone through. First stopping. Then finding out who you are beyond the mind, then self-knowledge, peace, understanding will come up from your own inner depth. Otherwise, you will always live in duality. That is Advaita, oneness, beyond the mind, beyond the opposite. It just is like it is. The mind will always come up. Either you're being hard with yourself or somebody else. Or creating a wall between you and life. Between you and me. See the stupidity of the mind. What you really want is to know yourself. What you want is to have peace. What you want is to come closer to me. And still the mind goes on, trying to get you away. There is no escape. You have to go beyond it. That is freedom. Otherwise, it will always be in the way. Because the mind always changes. It always spins. That's the whole art of meditation, Menaka. But it's not easy. But it's possible to go beyond that. Don't focus on the mind. That's why all these Buddhas have been saying, focus your consciousness in your heart. Focus your consciousness on the sounds of the river, of something that is happening now, on my voice, on your breath, anything that you keep you an anchor in the moment. If you are totally here, there's no mind. Your consciousness is totally here. You don't need the mind to function. You don't know that. Everybody is afraid. If I lose my mind, will I be a vegetable then? Because you are so dependent on the mind. You don't know who you are in your awareness. You don't trust your awareness, so you depend on the mind, which is always split, always confused, always hard on yourself. That is the courage I'm talking about, Menaka, to go beyond that, your whole identification with who you think you are. That is the art of meditation. No, any mind now? What is there now then? What is there now? What? Good? It's just good? You see how good it is without mind? Then you become innocent, you're spontaneous. Then everything happens by itself. You don't need to think what is wrong and what is right. It comes from your own self. Everything that is right will happen. That's why they say an enlightened one can never do anything wrong. Because he's just an instrument of now. Whatever is supposed to happen will happen. Yes, maybe people will get angry, maybe they will judge, maybe, oh, that is not appropriate. But it has nothing to do with reality. And unconscious, even if you try to do good, you will do wrong. For example, you think it's very bad if you hit somebody. A Zen master, he hit you very hard, maybe break your nose. That is out of compassion. He wants you to reflect, come back to now. You are so dense, he even have to break your nose to bring you into the moment. That is good. It's an act of love. Normally, if you're unconscious, of course it's bad. Unconscious, you think you also can smile, you say, I love you, and then next moment you hate, no? Because you are split. So all this will come up. You're playing this game with yourself, with others, with me, between you and life, everything. Just drop it. Stop talking. Good. difficult, but very good. Then stop thinking. More difficult. More good. Then know yourself. Even more difficult, but very, very good. Why is it that things that is so good is difficult? It's just like ice cream. This is not good for you, but it's so good. I don't know, just accept. But what is difficult can suddenly become easy. But no, I have talked so much and try to understand your problems that no, I have to stop that just a little bit before we go on. From my side. So I will read you something that Buddha said to his disciples. He said, he is awake, the victory is his. He has conquered the world. Who is he talking about? He is talking about the enlightened ones. Buddhahood. He is awake. That what a Buddha means, the awakened one. One who is awake. He is no longer asleep. If you are asleep, then of course you are excused. You don't know what you're doing. Sleepwalking. So all the mystics have said that man is asleep. Otherwise, how can humans do all the stupid things that they do if they are not asleep? How can they kill each other? How can they sell their soul for money, power, prestige, image? How is it possible? Because they are unconscious, they are asleep. But Buddha said, he is awake. The victory is his. When you are awake, the victory is yours. Otherwise, you might try to fight and get the whole world, like in Alexander the Great. But you won't be happy. In fact, you will be more frustrated because it didn't fulfill you. All that power makes you more a loser. But because people have their dreams and seldom they fulfill the dreams, then they can live in this illusion that maybe when I get this, maybe in the future. So you delay consciousness, you delay responsibility to look at yourself, to wake up. So Buddha says, he is awake, the victory is his. He has conquered the world. He has conquered the world because the world has nothing to give him. He has already something so precious that nothing in this world is worth more. It means nothing can tempt him. He has no more desires. He has won because he is awake. Just so easy, without doing anything. And he has conquered the whole world. How can he lose the way? Who is beyond the way? How can he lose the way, he who is beyond the way? It's impossible to lose the way. To be on the way, seeking the way, then you can get lose the way. But if you have gone beyond the way, how to lose the way? You're already gone. Gata, gata, paragata, parasamgata, bodhisvaha, gone, gone, gone beyond the beyond. Well gone beyond. Beyond the beyond gone. Yahoo. How can he lose the way? He's lost from himself and thereby found. How can he lose the way who is beyond the way? His eye is open. His foot is free. Who can follow after him? That is the question that the waking ones have. Who can follow after him? Who is wild enough, who is courageous enough that you can follow? Because to follow, you have to drop everything. You have to be willing to lose everything. All your possessions, inside and outside. You have to become innocent again. You have to become naked. Who is ready for that? Very, very few. That's what you are working on, to be ready for that. That understanding dawns and grows and expands and flowers. That yes, that's why I'm here. That's what the Buddha is reminding us about. His eye is open, his foot is free. Who can follow after him? His eye is open. He's saying his eye is open, not his eyes, but his eye. He's talking about the third eye. Not the eyes, but the eye. His eye is open. And for most people, the third eye is closed. Only enlightened one has the third open eye. It means the third eye sees the inner world. The two eyes, you get lost in the outside. But the third eye, you can see in. He can never be lost because he knows the inner paradise. He knows his true nature. His eye is open. That's why also you see all the Buddha statues, the eyes is closed. Why? Because he doesn't want to get lost. He had enough of the world. He wants to find himself. Not only find himself, but enjoy his inner being. He wants to be settled in the heart. That is meditation. No, it comes a certain time, then you become totally undisturbed by the outer. Of course, in the beginning, very difficult, because you only know the outer. So gradually, you have to come back again. Which is what satsang is, which is what a sangha is. Slowly, slowly, the Buddha says, come closer, go in. So in the beginning, big fight, which you see now, many of you, the mind comes up very strong because it wants to go out, it wants to escape. The habit is to go out. It's difficult to go in, to be quiet, to go beyond the mind. But that is the only way. You have to shut down the outside. It's just a balance, a gesture that you are willing, you want to come back. If you have found your silent being, if you have realized who you are, it doesn't matter if you have open eyes or closed eyes, because you know nothing can disturb it. in the nature, in the cities, it's the same. But in the beginning, it's not so. You have to practice. You have to be total. You have to be dedicated. Otherwise, again, the mind goes. Otherwise, again, your eyes pull you out. Your desires, your mind takes you away from that silent space. How can he lose the way who is beyond the way? His eye is open, his foot is free. Who can follow after him? His foot is free because he is free. Most people have chains. In the eyes of a Buddha, you're all walking around with chains on your legs. It's very difficult to walk. You have to get rid of your chains, your attachments, so your foot can be free. You can be light-footed. This world cannot reclaim him or lead him astray, nor can the poisoned net of desire hold him. This world cannot reclaim him. He's saying, is no way back. All danger of getting lost in the mind is gone. This world cannot reclaim him. It's impossible. He has risen above this world. He knows the games of the world. And he has seen that they are futile. Nor can the poisoned net of desire hold him. Otherwise, people always have problems in their meditation with the desires, with the mind, always dreaming going out. And again, you are caught in the net. You have lost your vision just thinking about your little world. You are again caught in the net. You don't have a clear Buddha vision. He is awake. The gods watch over him. The gods watch over him because he is a god. And everybody is a god. He loves nature. In fact, he is love, so of course, the whole existence loves him, supports him. All the enlightened ones will support him. That's really a happy family. No nonsense there, because you are devoted to the truth. Then everything supports that. The gods watch over him. He is awake and finds joy in the stillness of meditation and in the sweetness of surrender. When you find joy in the stillness of meditation, that means you are free. There is no more fight. Otherwise, it can be very hard. That's what you are practicing here. That's why I'm trying in this way and that way to bring you back. So you get the taste of that sweet joy of just being in your own center, in your own being, unpolluted by any mind, any thoughts, any desires. The kingdom is here. Not anywhere else. That is the realization of a meditator. He finds joy in the stillness of meditation. But up to that time is very hard. And in the sweetness of surrender. Who in this world have found the joy of meditation and in the sweetness of surrender. All egos are afraid to surrender. All egos want to be the strongest, the hardest, the toughest. They want to win. They don't want to surrender. Only the heart, which only can get ignited when your consciousness have evolved to a certain maturity. Only from the heart, from your deep understanding, can you surrender. It's not you, it is your whole totality. You have understood, you have felt something. Then Buddha calls it in the sweetness of surrender. And nothing is sweeter because then you have given up then. You don't want to fight. Like I say so many times, enough is enough. You have to come to that point. Otherwise, you can still go on. But sooner or later, you have to give up. You have to let go. You have to become natural. Because everybody is longing for peace. But this peace and this bliss and this silence and this harmony only can happen in the stillness of meditation, in the sweetness of surrender. And that's why the whole world is missing it. Because nobody can do it for you. You have to do it. Yes, the Buddhas can show the way, but you have to do it. It has to become your experience. It has to become your realization. Hard it is to be born. Hard it is to live. Harder still to hear of the way, and hard to rise, follow, and awake. Yet the teaching is simple. Do what is right. Be pure. At the end of the way is freedom. Till then, patience. If you wound or grieve another, you have not learned detachment. Offend in neither word nor deed. Eat with moderation. Live in your heart. Seek the highest consciousness. Buddha is saying, hard it is to be born. And that is the realization of the Buddhas. That life, human life, is very difficult. It is a gift, it is a great opportunity. Because it can bring you freedom. It can bring you self-realization. But it's hard. It's easy to miss. No, you have that human birth and you are hearing the truth. No, many things. Everything, in fact, is possible. It's not everybody who listens to the truth. Hard it is to be born, hard it is to live, harder still to hear of the way, and hard to rise, follow, and awake. Hard it is to be born, hard it is to live. It's hard to live because it's all the possibility that you will waste your life, that you will be lost in the ocean of samsara, in the illusions, in the dreams. That is easy. It's hard to live if you want to wake up. It's hard to live the real in this world of lies. harder still to hear of the way. He's going gradually, hard it is to be born, hard it is to live, harder still to hear of the way. No, to hear of the way, to listen to a Buddha, to get the message is even harder. One out of a million. And not all of those will follow the way, even if they hear it. Hard it is to hear of the way. Not only that it's hard to hear of the way, to get in touch with the Buddha, but it's hard to wake up, to follow the way. And that is his next sentence, and hard to rise, follow, and awake. Because you have to face yourself, you have to work hard to get out your illusion, your darkness, your ego, your mind. There is no other way. Yet the teaching is simple. Do what is right, be pure. At the end of the way is freedom. Till then, patience. Yet the teaching is simple, is very simple. But you are not simple. This is so great for the enlightened ones, because this is exactly what I'm saying now. This is 2,500 years ago. But Buddha is also in a dilemma. It's very hard, he'd just been saying. Everything is hard, living, to get born, to follow the way, to listen to the Buddha, everything is hard. Yet, the teaching is simple. That's the paradox. I'm saying also, it's very hard, but it's very easy. It's hard when you are identified, when you are lost. When you are just mind, when you are just ego, then it's very hard. If you regain your innocence, your clarity, it's very easy. And many times you fall into that clarity and then you get lost again. And that's why you have to be devoted to the path. You have to become strong. Steady like a mountain, unshakable, that nothing can move you. Yet the teaching is simple. Do what is right. And what is right, that is what just what I told you before. Be conscious. Be aware. That is what is right. It means you cannot be right if you are a slave of the mind. Because the mind even will fight the Buddhas. It will fight yourself. It will fight your heart. So the whole homework is to get settled in the heart, from the head to the heart. Then a whole new life, a whole new understanding start functioning. Know first you are a human being. Functioning from the head, you're just a machine. Very unpredictable. Not trustworthy. The teaching is simple. Do what is right. Be pure. And what is pure is your innocence. Just like Jesus said, you have to become like children to enter into my kingdom of God. It means the innocent, that clear mirror, like consciousness, unstained by the mind, by right and wrong. That is purity. At the end of the way is freedom. Till then, patience. Yes, at the end of the way is freedom. And again, I go on reminding you, be responsible for where you are. It's no shortcut. If you are not at the end, be steady. Be committed. It's the only way you're going to reach the end. At the end is freedom. Till then, patience. Relax, you cannot push it because it comes from your inner understanding, your inner maturity. Then you start making less and less problems for yourself and for the people around you. Everything becomes more and more simple, more and more easy, more and more clean, more and more truthful. Nothing gets stirred. Otherwise, you all the time create situations. In your unconsciousness, you first blame the other. Then, little more consciousness, you start seeing that you created yourself. You have to drop all those games. Become more aware. If you wound or grieve another, you have not learned detachment. Because in the eyes of a Buddha, we are all the same. Yes, maybe some is asleep and some is awake, but that's about it. Those who are asleep can wake up. Then it's the same. There's no difference. To see in the eyes of clarity, we are all the same. Offend in neither word nor deed. Again, he's saying, be pure. Eat with moderation. Live in your heart. Seek the highest consciousness. Very simple things. Offend in neither word nor deed. Again, it's impossible if you don't have awareness. In your unconsciousness, you always offend. In word, in deed, or hurting yourself by thinking negative thoughts, projections, anger. So that's why it's so important. Be aware of the mind and don't get caught by it. Eat with moderation. He's just saying live simply. Out of awareness also, you will be more in tune with the body, within balance. Live in your heart. This is the simple teaching. Don't get identified with your mind. Live in balance. Eat what is good for you. Think what is good for you. Do good. Live in your heart. It couldn't be more simple. All the Buddhas have very simple teachings. But it's very difficult to follow it because we are getting so complicated. Live in your heart. And without living in your heart, nothing is possible. Only the heart becomes steady. Otherwise, even if you are with the Buddha, the mind goes, I should be somewhere else. Again, you lose it. You have to live in the heart. You have to become settled. Seek the highest consciousness. Remember, you are a Buddha. Seek the highest consciousness. Go for your Buddha nature. Be steady. Don't get lost in the darkness. Seek the highest consciousness. Don't settle for just the crumbs. Go on as long as you can go on. That was the last words of the Buddha. Charaveti, charaveti, go on, go on, go on. Don't give up. Dear and beloved Master, first of all, I want to thank you for this adventure. I didn't expect to come to Norway so soon. And I want to say that I love you more and more each day. You are the best thing that has happened in my life. Don't expect anything, Jenna, then you will never be disappointed. Always in awe. I love when you talk about nature. I feel a deep connection with the natural cycles, the seasons, the moon, Mother Earth, the rain. I have gone through some storms, but now I'm starting to feel that the sorrow is leaving me and the peace is coming. I'm grateful for every season of my life, grateful to you and for this place that allows us to live all the seasons in a safe way. When I was a kid, I got into a scary space for me, so big, empty, indescribable. My mother explained it as a nightmare. But for me, it wasn't a dream. I never forgot the feeling. No, it is your home. But it is scary. And many times when you are a kid, you are in touch with it because you just came from there. Before you had the body, just as a consciousness. But when you have a body, then it's scary. And that's why we are running always away from ourselves. Because our true nature is indescribable. And we learn to be confined to this form, to the name, to the image. So then it becomes more and more scary. That's why everybody is scared to come back to themselves. I go on reminding you, you need trust, you need love, you need understanding. And the more and more you taste the bliss of it, instead of being afraid of it, you start longing for it out of your own understanding. Because it's always been there. And what can a poor mother explain? The mothers also have forgotten. Yesterday, during the Vipassana session, I went back there, in that empty and full space at the same time. Exactly like that, Jana, is empty and full at the same time. It's a paradox. It is and it is not. And that is freedom itself. Empty and full at the same time. My body was falling apart. I felt a strong energy pulsating close to my chest and the openness for this mystery. I want more, beloved. I trust because you are my big mama now. I want to go deeper. Very good. With love, Jenna. Let's go deeper, Jenna. That's what I want to create in you, this thirst, this recognition, this memory. And then it comes from yourself, you want to go deeper. Because it's so good. Dear beloved, I wish to connect. I wish to share something that has been coming up. The day before the silence began, in the group tuning into the silence, I felt silence, peaceful, compassionate, and watchful. But the next day, as the silence had started, I cooked. This is just how it should be, Badrinath. It's very strange, but silence is very innocent. How can it cook you? I don't understand. You say also, oh, Baba, cooking, cooking. I don't do anything. Why don't you take the responsibility? I missed the other a lot. I felt attached and lonely. Many negative thoughts came. At some points I knew it was just the mind, but it was strong and I was fighting. It was hell. Good. Mind is hell. And that's what meditation is for in the beginning. You have to see that this mind is hell. It's projection. It's hell. It's negative thoughts. As days passed, these feelings got weaker and thoughts became less, going in smaller and smaller waves. I felt less absence of the other and more present in myself. I have noticed this attachment comes from the fear of being insecure, of uncertain, of the unknown. I have also noticed before that my goals, ambitions, and self-created obstacles are coming from the same fear, the fear of not knowing. That's it, Badrinath. You have to go through. That's why I'm making all this for you, so you can see, so you get to know yourself, because you don't know. You have the fear of not knowing. If you know, then you have no fear. That's the courage I'm talking about. To face all these things that you don't really want to look at. All the goals, ambitions, and self-created obstacles are coming from the same fear. If you know yourself, then all these ambition, goals, obstacles will not come. If you don't know yourself, then they will come. Only they will come. That's the whole battle. You have to see how it feels to be lost in the mind and get out of it, become aware of it. As I see this and I accept, something happens, a relaxation, a trust, a let go, something new awakens. I awake more into the moment with more clarity. But then again, I notice myself unconsciously looking for the other. That is how the mind functions. And it will go on till it gives up. Just like this. Little relaxation, then on again. Lost again. Found again. Hide and seek. But at least, you sometimes is found. In the beginning, you're only lost. And if you go on, at the end, you're only found. That's the whole journey. Lost to found. This is the station where lost and found. And many times you come, you don't know that you have lost it. You think everything is fine. Then you realized, oh my God, I lost the most valuable. Then I open up the shop. Yes, this is lost and found. Very mysterious. Then again, I notice myself unconscious looking for the other. I see that the strong roots in awareness is needed. Yes, it is. If you want to be free, that you have to have very strong roots. I see that vipassana is good and it feels good. Yes, vipassana is a great technique for getting aware of your attachments. I feel like this shift from loneliness to attachments, to aloneness and freedom is available now. Can you talk about this? Attachment is clinging, no? And clinging is fear. Like you have something that you desperately want, you fall in love and you cling, no? That is the normal. But then you will kill the love then. You can't cling. You will kill it. Then is possession, attachment. That is not love. Love is freedom. Then, no, you don't want to possess. If you have, why should you possess? But this is how the ego works. That's how the mind works. You have something you want to possess. Even people becomes things then. And that's why nobody is happy, you know, because you're clinging to each other. If it comes from understanding, from love, then it's a totally different thing. So all this is what you have to notice, to take good notice. It feels like this shift from loneliness and attachment to aloneness and freedom is available. It is available. Loneliness is like a weed, because that is you. It's the ego. It feels lonely. It feels lost. It's missing. It wants to cling. Is always looking for something else. Aloneness, then that's your true nature. That is the flower. Aloneness is the flower. Loneliness is the weed. Like that. So get the weeds up and plant flowers. That's what I mean, changing the negative into the positive. You can only do that out of your understanding, out of consciousness. Then you are planting the real then. In your unconsciousness, then all the weeds grow. You have no idea you have so many weeds. Then you go in, you start becoming reflective, meditation, more aware. Then you only can you start taking notice. Wow, so many weeds. Then you have to do the work, get out the weeds and plant flowers, beauty. That you can only do with consciousness. You cannot do that in your unawareness. It's impossible. Because you don't get those seeds from the mind. You get those seeds only from your heart, from your understanding. So attachment and clinging is very natural for the ego because you want to possess, no? If you understand, if you see, then you see you don't possess anything. You don't possess even your own body. Everything will go. Then love, then understanding, then gratefulness. That I have nothing and I have all this. Amazing. That's a mystery. You start living in the mystery instead of want to possess, to own, to cling. So I would never say you should drop your attachment or even the mind. You just have to understand. Because out of understanding, it drops by itself. Clarity, your light, your understanding, that's what is the end of the darkness. because you understand. It's not a fight, it's nothing to get rid of, it's just to become more conscious. Then you shift your awareness, you start seeing things as they are. It can only come from your own understanding. And if the understanding is total, everything of these ghosts and clinging and expectation is gone. Thank you for helping me to see what is in the depth of my being. Your disciple, Badrinath. Good. And meditation is this deep realization that I am alone. I am alone, and still we have each other. Wow, amazing. It's just an understanding. Everything else is, everything from the mind is ugly. It wants to possess, it wants to cling, it wants to own. It wants me, 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 me. That is another name for the ego. It's very limited. The whole sees things as it is. Then it becomes a big wish. Everything becomes relaxed. If you only meet me very tight, very narrow, and very difficult for me to communicate with the very narrow, the more vast, the more easy. So out of aloneness, beautiful things, out of meditation, everything happens. Because then you realize that this whole life is a gift. How can you possess anything? And when you feel it's a gift, then gratitude, then compassion. And that is what transforms you. Aum Shanti. That is the miracle of meditation. If you go in, everything will be shown to you. The deeper you go, the deeper secrets. You will understand, you will see, you will feel, you will accept. Even the mind will accept, because everything becomes so clear. There is no doubt anymore. Then surrender happens spontaneous, out of your own seeing, out of your own understanding. The whole work is to get rid of that which is unnatural. When you become natural, then everything is flowering, blooming by itself. That is not the doing, it's just you have created the right garden, the right soil. Thank you. everyone find peace and be happy. Aum Shanti. Ekanka Satna Siriwa.
Siri Wah.